April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
You're listening to the Go Birds Pod, a radio.com podcast about your beloved birds.
Oh, what's going on, Philadelphia? Hello, everybody. It is the Go Birds Podcast. John Barcher, James Seltzer, LH Shore Parks. Not cool enough to join us in studio, even though I had to drive down here. I'm just saying, no, I'm kidding. It is episode number 114.
I'm not kidding.
I do miss you guys. I'm having a rough start to the day, too, so I wish I was there.
See, like, it was this past week on Tuesday. We're all in here. It was good banter, I'm sure there's plenty more ahead as we're here to preview those Detroit Lions as they're going to roll into Philadelphia, and there's obviously a lot in and outside going around with this game. And fellas, I gotta say, I am genuinely concerned about this particular game. Like, I do feel as though, and it's really not even in terms of, you know, Detroit's a really good team or anything like that. I look at Detroit, and I think, Elliot, you had mentioned this too. I don't think they're that much different than Atlanta. I really don't. I mean, I think
they're better than Atlanta.
I think you're both crazy.
I don't think they're better than Atlanta.
I think Detroit is horrendous.
So can we all agree that we like Football Outsiders? Yeah. We all agree on that.
I like more than not, I would say.
Okay. Well, we're not going to agree on everything they have.
If
but
you're going to give me Football Outsider stats through two games in September, then no, I don't care.
Oh, well, that's what I'm about to give you, so you can
there you go.
Put on your earmuffs for all I care. But they have them as the 14th best team in the NFL through first 2 weeks.
Yeah, so, meaningless
again,
to me.
Not a great team, but I do think this is, like, to what John was saying, I don't think this is an easy win for the Eagles. I mean, they could win the game, but to say that this is like, oh, thank God they're playing the Lions, I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case just because, you're probably not going to have Goddard. You're probably not going to have Alshon. You're probably not going to have, obviously, you're not going to have Deshaun. Maybe Alshon says, I'll go for this one and I'll skip Green Bay or whatever it is. But, it's a lot of what we talked about in this past week. Like, if they get off to a slow start, if, you know, the Lions, who do have two very fast wide receivers, like, that's another issue, at least for me, between Galladay and between Marvin Jones. I think Detroit could get up early. It's not like, I'm actually surprised that Bevel is actually running an offense in Detroit, even though that they've tied and it is and they just beat, you know, the Chargers and all that. And I know it's a week-to-week matchup thing, but I don't think this is going to be a blowout. I know Vegas has it at six-point favorites for the Eagles, and I'm not feeling that at all.
Well, look, I think that matters that the line is still that high. That says something. I think the issue with the Eagles is any team they could face right now is a problem because of all the injuries they have.
I think Detroit's about as good a matchup as you could hope for right now. I think you guys are way overrating Detroit. Detroit should be 0-2. Matt Patricia, as we talked about, maybe the worst coach in the NFL in game, in my opinion.
Oh,
that
yeah.
timeout he called
right.
against Arizona, again, I said, I think it might be one of the worst timeouts I've ever seen a head coach call in my history of watching the NFL. They should have lost to the Chargers. Their punter was kicking for them, missed two field goals. I mean, they absolutely should have lost that game. Look, I think that, to your point, they got some good wide receivers. Matthew Stafford is a fine quarterback who can hit open guys. I definitely worry about any team right now just because the Eagles are so banged up.
Right.
But I don't think you could ask for a better matchup than facing Detroit at the Link on Sunday. I feel confident the Eagles will win this game. Nervous about the injuries for sure. I still feel confident the Eagles will beat the Lions.
Is it just Football Outsiders that makes you nervous, or is it just like me and you're kind of going, you know, slow starts, don't have your weapons? We've seen that. We just saw that last week. And this is, I don't know, at least for me, they have to get, this is the time where the offense actually has to score a touchdown in the first half of this game. But where are you coming from in terms of worry?
Well, I think it's a couple things. One, I think James is right that probably any team they played this week, we would probably sit here and say this is going to be tough just because of how banged up they are.
Yep.
I do think the loss of Alshon and Deshaun are really big losses, and Goddard, assuming none of them play. I think that we have to stop saying if they fall behind and just accept that this team is basically always going to fall behind. I mean, they have the worst first quarter offense in the NFL since last year. They're atrocious to begin games, and that's really, really bad in the NFL. So I think there's a decent shot that they will fall behind. My concern with the Lions is twofold. One, I think that their lines are better than Atlanta's lines. Now, they don't have maybe as good of a pass rush as the Falcons do, but they blitz a lot. I think their offensive line is really good. They've only let up 3 sacks the first 2 weeks, facing last week at least a very good Chargers pass rush. And we haven't seen the Eagles pass rush get pressure with the front four basically at all. So if I don't think the Eagles pass rush is going to be able to get anything going against the Lions, I then look and I say, okay, Matthew Stafford, probably slightly overrated, but can definitely make a lot of throws. He has a strong arm. They have good receivers. I really like the tight end. So I think that the Detroit Lions could put some points up. So then I flip it and I say, okay, well, are the Eagles going to put points up? And we saw last week that the offense struggled. Now, I know they'll have a full practice week to kind of work on things, but that's my hesitation, is the injuries also just coupled with the fact I think the Lions are better than people think.
I do think that we can't underrate the full week of practice, and obviously they didn't practice on Wednesday, but the full week of working with the guys who are actually going to be in the game, I think we underrated how hard it is for Arcega Whiteside, for Matt Collins to just step in with no practice reps with Wentz, with no practice of running these routes with Wentz, of all that type of stuff. I mean, obviously everyone's talked about it, but we saw it in full view on that back shoulder pass. JJ doesn't even turn around. I mean, I think having a week to work together, having a week to know that these guys are going to be in the lineup is a massive thing. And even if it's Alex Ellis and not Dallas Goedert, just being able to run 12 personnel and having the option to run these types of plays is a massive thing. You're going in with a game plan that you can theoretically execute. They almost beat the Falcons, who I disagree with you, Elliot. I think are a better team than Detroit. Maybe substantially better than Detroit, but definitely better than Detroit. And they should have beat the Falcons. They could have beat the Falcons. Again, if Nelson Aguilar catches it, they probably beat the Falcons in a game where those guys had no idea what they were doing. I think the extra week really matters.
So I disagree. I think it matters, but I think like massive is strong. At the end of the day, Matt Collins and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, like, you have two extremely unproven guys out there. And you're right. Like, knowing, being able to game plan with those guys helps. Being able to theoretically game plan and now have both your tight ends, it matters. I just think at the end of the day, you're replacing Deshaun, Alshon, and Goddard with Matt Collins, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and Alex Ellis. And going into this game, I mean, which team has a better set of skill position players?
The Lions,
I think it's probably the Lions. Yeah. So
in terms of the wide receivers,
right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I would say personally, I think the Eagles have a better quarterback, a better offensive line, and a better defense.
Well, I want to talk.
Well,
about,
I don't know about better offensive line the way they've played. Yeah, so
they had a bad game against Atlanta, but I mean, are you saying you don't believe in this offensive line that we have essentially for the most part these guys 3 years of evidence that they're a pretty damn good offensive line just because of the Atlanta game? Because I think that's silly.
No, I'm not saying that. I just think that it's like when you go position by position.
They were really good in the second half against Washington.
Okay, I'm saying if you go position by position, I think the offensive lines right now, especially with how bad Sam Malu played, I would give it to the Eagles, but I don't think it's a huge gap.
Oh, I think it is the point.
Okay. I think the Lions have better receivers, probably better, maybe better running backs. That's debatable.
No, I think Kerryon Johnson's better than anything the Eagles have. I think that's fair.
Yeah, and probably not better tight ends because Ertz is like, you know, maybe the best tight end in the league besides Travis Kelce. But I do think the TJ Hockenson is very good.
Yeah, of course he is.
He's really good, but also did nothing against the Chargers after a big week one.
Yeah, and they kind of the Chargers took him right out of the game plan, too. They're like, screw it. If you're going to go and do this, it's going to be with Golladay. It's going to be with Marvin Jones. That ended up working
Danny
out.
Danny Amendola
yeah.
for that
oh,
game.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Danny. Yeah,
good old game Danny. Yeah.
I just think I feel like I'm always in the middle of you guys when it comes to this. I am concerned. I'm not concerned about the offensive line as a whole. I am concerned, and I thought this the entire game, and I meant to tell you this, James. Isaac Seumalo is that why you don't get rid of Wiz right there, that situation? Because my prediction is you're going to see Big V in this game at some point playing left guards. I still do not feel confident with him. I understand that it's progressed. It's been up. It's been down. It's been up. It's been down. We still have not seen the Isaac Seumalo that we've been promised for a very long time, and this is going on a couple of years here. I know that at some point you got to say, like, okay, dude, you have to be at it. And if we're being honest with ourselves, it's one of the easiest positions to play on the line, and he struggles day in and day out physically with that position so far.
Look, I get it. I'm not a huge Isaac Seumalo fan. I was pounding the table for them to keep Wiz. I tweeted out, letting Wiz go is a mistake. I want Wiz here. But we've seen Isaac Seumalo have some atrocious games in the NFL and bounce back. I mean, he played really well over the second half of last season. He was good.
Yeah, he was.
He was very good. And look, we've seen him have these types of games. We all remember the Kansas City game last year where almost identical. Week two of the season is not great for Isaac Seumalo. So I agree with you. He's not my favorite. I think he's the weakest part of the line, but I think he's better than what he showed in Atlanta, and he's shown that.
You also said something interesting too, and for the run the ball crowd, That is the biggest part of it between Seumalo having a bad game, even in some parts, like Lane wasn't overall that great either, but, you know, still played very well throughout the game. Not running out of 12 personnel, at least so far in the shortest sample size in the world, has really affected Miles Sanders. It's obviously affected Jordan Howard, and it's affected Doug Peterson to go, okay, let's go run the ball. They have the most success, and it's a duh, but they have the most success running out of that. And when you don't have the ability to put a second tight end out there, I was actually surprised that they didn't, and maybe I'm misremembering, was wondering why they didn't put an extra tackle out there.
I was wondering the same thing, like more Dillard as the sixth tackle, all that. I mean, they did a little bit, but I was really surprised. I thought that would be a much bigger part of the game plan, especially, again, coming off the Minnesota game with Atlanta where they just ran all over them, especially out of 12 personnel. You expected them to be able to do something like that. I'm with you. And I do think, and again, you know, I'm more on the running the ball thing is not as important as a lot of people make it out to be. But I do think in this specific situation, with a very depleted wide receiver core, with a situation where you need to help your quarterback, if they can get the running game going on Sunday, I do think it would be a massive help for this team.
No, and I agree. And to a sense where in this, this is where I come in with this. I think the problem has been that the offensive line hasn't been able to get going, and there's always one series, and we saw it in Washington, where suddenly they just start, let's just go fucking kill some guys, and they go and do that, and then everything else kind of falls into place. So are you on the same wavelength of get in 12 personnel, get Jordan Howard going a little bit, get Miles Sanders going in a little bit, and just try to get the offensive line going, because that's where I'm at when Detroit comes in here?
Not really. I think at the end of the day, you win in this league by throwing the ball. If you want to get the running backs involved, maybe through the screen game, something like that. Yeah. And I'm not saying never run the ball. And if your thing is more about the attitude of the offensive line of just getting them in a vibe early, maybe. But I just think with how much this team has struggled to start games, you need to come out and do what you think is absolutely just going to work best to put points on the board. And right. I mean, in the NFL, it's throwing the ball. It's putting the ball in Carson's hand. So I don't really want them to come out and be like a 50-50, 60-40 type offense. I think you're going to have to throw the ball. It's just the Eagles are not going to win this game running. I would be very surprised if they accomplish that.
No, but I do think Barchard has a point. I think we've seen it with this specific guy, this group of guys. I mean, they work better when they get a chance to go out and maul in the run game. And I do think that matters mentality-wise for the offensive line. And again, situationally, I agree with you. You win in this league by throwing. Period, end of story. I think specifically in this situation, in this game, with the depletion they have in the wide receiver core, I do think that running the ball can help Carson. I think it can help the offense. So I agree with you philosophically. I disagree specifically.
And well, one thing I would add actually is, I mean, I guess we don't know because we haven't seen them in games a lot, but you would think Matt Collins and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside would be good blocking receivers. I mean, they're both bigger, long arm, strong. Like, so that could potentially impact things too.
Certainly. Yeah, that's the one thing I think that is a little overlooked in both of their guys' game. Not that, you know, God, you say blocking wide receiver, you start to throw up a little. You start to think of Chip and like Riley Cooper and all those things.
Riley Cooper was the first name that popped in my head.
But yeah, I and they have opportunities. What I would like to see, Green Bay does this a lot. Ben Fennell pointed this out, and I think it's a fantastic package. I'm surprised, especially Doug, wouldn't be interested in it, in running a pony package, which is, you know, both running backs are next to the QB in shotgun, and there's so much opportunity for misdirection in that. Running screens, and it's a show-me screen out to the left where it looks like it's normal, but then next thing it's a throwback to the other running back where you're cutting up counter to the weak side of the offensive line, and they busted one for a touchdown. I think there's plenty of things that you can do with the personnel they have between running backs and wide receivers to do that.
John, I love this point, and we've criticized Doug. I mean, I think all three of us have been on Doug for these first two games for a lot of the play calling in Atlanta, especially in the first halves. The biggest thing that impressed, and obviously with Doug did a lot in 2017 that was amazing, but just from an every game perspective, obviously getting Foles ready, getting him in, that's amazing stuff. But the amount of misdirection he used all season long, We didn't see it as much last year. We haven't seen it as much this year. In this type of situation where you're depleted, he should be doing a lot of pre-snap motion, a lot of misdirection type stuff. That's the type of stuff that's going to allow, you know, kind of give a little help to Carson, a little help to the offense. I love that point.
Yeah,
can I run a little stat by you guys really quick?
I would love stats. Yes, please.
So, in 2017, the Eagles scored points on 53% of their opening drives. Do you want to guess what the number is from 2018 till now?
We know it's really low, obviously.
I'm going to say 29%.
Not even. I'm going to say like 18%.
15%. Jesus. They punted on 70% of their drives. So I agree. Doug was amazing in 2017 with his play calls and designs and all that. We need to see more of that this week in Detroit.
Yeah, I've... That's the other thing I've noticed too, is just how many screens have they run so far?
Not many.
Maybe one. I remember one, and Carson definitely had to ditch.
I mean, they've run Jordan. What's funny is I think they've run a couple to Jordan Howard, which is unexpected, but not many.
Yeah, not with Sproulsy and not with anybody else. So I think that and when you're talking about injuries, when you're talking about doing all these things, those are definitely things you have to do. I was actually shocked that they didn't run one against Atlanta, did they?
We went into that game. We kept quoting the stat. Four years in a row, Atlanta's allowed the most receiving yards to running backs, and it seemed like the Eagles didn't take advantage of that at all.
So I think there might be some opportunities there. And, you know, as always, we'll root. It's undefeated. Come on, Doug. Let's get on board here as we go along. But, yeah, I'm a little nervous. I we'll get to where we are thinking in terms of like actual point spread, and we'll make some picks as we always do. Want to remind everybody, if you're listening to this tonight, Thursday, right now,
come hang out.
We're just going to hang out at the Paper Street Pub in Manayunk. It is one of the greatest cool little, I don't even know how to describe it, like warm feeling,
it feels like a hometown bar.
Yeah.
Is what it feels like, to use a cliche. It feels like a place where everybody knows your name if you live there.
Hometown bar without the hometown, the decor. It's not
modern, totally, but it definitely feels like a family in there. It feels like you go in and everyone knows everyone and they're joking with each other and all that. It's really we've been there 2 years in a row. Yes. This is our third time. We love it there. I'm really psyched.
Come hang out tonight. The Paper Street Pub. We'll be there at 6 o'clock. We'll be talking about fantasy football, watching the Thursday night football games, and obviously drinking a ton of Bud Lights. So thanks to them for putting that all together well.
Fun fact, I feel like Paper Street Pub might be the first place I did an event with you guys.
Yes, I think you're correct.
It's 100% true.
Yeah.
Also, fun fact, I like to drink Bud Light at these events.
There you go.
You may not know that about me.
We always love and enjoy your questions, your takes, especially about this game and all these things moving forward here. At Go Birds Pod, you can follow us there on the twitter.com. Gentlemen, David Lander asked, you know, from the Sunday to Thursday, this is the most important 5 days in the season, as well, he says 1-4 start, but a 1-3 start could make the division near impossible to win. Do you guys agree with that?
No.
I would say it's
look. Look at the schedules. Dallas has the easiest opening schedule in the history of the NFL, practically, other than of course New England, who it just seems every year they just get gifted games. But Dallas's opening schedule is super easy. The Eagles' schedule is not as easy to open. And again, I'll say it. I can't say it enough times. I'm not overreacting to September. I'm just not. Look,
for anybody.
Do we need the Eagles to win one of these two? Yes, it would be a really big deal if they lose both of these games. But the season's not over. The division's not over. And regardless, I think they win one of the two anyway.
I said this too, but I just think it's funny that James is like, the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. And that's not an overreaction, but you know, maybe some blimps on the radar in the first 2 weeks.
I mean, they got a bunch of injuries. I still think they're a Super Bowl team.
No, I don't think it's impossibly. I think it's incredibly hard, though.
If the Eagles fall to 1-3 and the Cowboys are 4-0, which is very likely considering they have the Dolphins and the Saints the next 2 weeks, Saints without Drew Brees, I would almost bet whatever you guys wanted, the Eagles don't win the division.
I don't think the Saints, just because it's Teddy Bridgewater in New Orleans, I don't think that's an automatic win for Dallas.
I don't think it is either, but I think we would all pick the Cowboys in that game.
I think so.
So
maybe, I think it depends on how they look in Seattle this week. If Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill, if they can make that interesting and they can play Seattle tough, I might pick the Saints against.
Also, there's a bunch of people that were asking about, you know, the medical staff because of all these injuries that are in here too. And look, this is something that has been going on for like the last 2.5 years. I always expected Jeff McClain, only because he asks so much about it, to write a story about it. I'm still sure that there is something that's hanging
about. Where's the expose, Jeff?
Where is it? You know, I think it is. I would lean more. These are old guys. Some of them are old guys with reoccurring injuries throughout their career.
Look,
Corey Clement in a shoulder, it's going to happen.
Yeah,
you can't
Deshaun
prevent that.
With a groin. I mean, this is, and again, I think it's also bad luck in a lot of cases. Like, injuries happen in the NFL, and sometimes a lot of them happen at the same time.
Yeah, when it comes to medical staffs, like, I understand that, you know, people make mistakes, but for some reason, when people say like the medical staff's not doing their job or they're really, you know, just not taking care of these players, I just have a tough time saying that because I truly believe these are more than likely some of the most qualified doctors in the world trying the best they can. Like, so players get hurt. It is what it is. They're the oldest team in the league. And I know Goddard's not old, but he hurt this calf back in training camp and it just re-aggravated it. So I have a hard time, you know, kind of blaming the medical staff.
And this is something that I heard Torrey Smith say on the Adam Schefter podcast, which I thought was interesting. He goes, I never understood how different everyone's bodies were until I played in the NFL. Everyone is so different on how they handle, you know, 6 week injuries. You know, look at Brandon. Like, how can we say there's something wrong with the medical staff? Yeah. And Brandon Brooks is coming and playing after eight months.
It's a great point.
So I'm sure that, and granted, I'm not saying you can't question it. I mean, we certainly did with the Sixers for like 2 years
maybe
in a row.
Maybe justifiably so. But.
And I think the Eagles scrambled a little bit trying to find their next head of the medical staff. So, but I don't know if they're not doing their job. You know, it's really hard to be a doctor. That I know because I didn't go to school to be one or school. from our good friend.
So fun fact, I was studying. I was going to be a psychologist for a little while.
Really?
In college.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then I was like, this is way too hard. But
doesn't your dad do that?
No, my dad's a teacher.
Oh, but, a teacher, professor.
So,
that's right.
I was going to study psychology, and then I was like, well, if I'm going to do psychology, I might as well be a psychiatrist because they make way more money. But then I figured out that required medical school.
Way more school.
I took like biology or something, like the very beginning class to start doing that. And like halfway through the semester, I was like, yeah, I can't do this. And I quit. So it's very tough to be a doctor.
But some of it obviously rubbed off because you are fucking up my mind left and right on this podcast. You're getting right in there. I love it.
Wow.
From our good friend, speaking of the Sixers, did Ben Simmons make a three? Is Dak for real or has he just played bad teams? I know what James. I know what James is going to say.
But look, all right. And we all know what Elliot's going to say.
Dak is for real.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll sit this
here's
one out.
The thing.
Dak has been for real forever.
Here's the thing. That's the thing is, I don't think Dak's horrible. Like, I've never said that. I think Dak is a fine quarterback. I don't think he's as good as he's playing right now. I disagree.
Yeah.
I think he's played Washington and the Giants. I think the Giants might have the worst secondary I've ever seen watching the NFL. At least week one and week two against Buffalo, but especially week one, guys were wide open. I'm talking wide open.
Right.
I think Dak is a good quarterback. I think he's a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. That's good. He's a really good quarterback. He is not elite. He is not a top five, top seven quarterback in the NFL.
Why, when Dak does it, is it like, oh, he's playing Washington, but Carson does it and the whole postgame pod is like, Carson's back, 2017. Like, what's the difference?
I think Carson's a better quarterback.
You said you were going to sit
this
out.
What do you mean to say? Like, I think Carson's a better quarterback than Dak. I think he's
okay,
a better.
Okay, but you can't point to the opponents then.
Well, I just said I think Dak isn't as good as he's shown in these first three games, or first two games. That's all I'm saying.
Here's what I believe right now.
I think he's a very good quarterback. I'm not shitting on Dak Prescott.
Right.
I just don't think he's as good as Wentz.
I don't either, but I still look and go, man, like this offense has really opened him up despite, everybody. I mean, Josh Allen looked good against the freaking Giants,
I mean,
you know? Like,
I'm not
get all that.
Jameis Winston is about to look good against the Giants.
I think Wentz is probably more skilled than Dak, but I was debating this with someone in the office yesterday. Like, Dak has been better than Carson every stage of his entire career in terms of just, like, where he's played, what he's accomplished, like, so, again, I think Carson is probably more talented, but Dak went to a bigger college and did better. He has a better resume than Carson does in the NFL. Like, so I agree. I think Carson's more talented, but people are lying to themselves. They don't think it's like a conversation, or at least they're like in the same level or tier of quarterback.
I think what Kellen Moore has done is going to make him more a part of that conversation. I think what Dallas has done, and I was wrong about Amari Cooper. I think we all were, because we're going, there's no way you'd fucking risk that. They're crazy. And then he ends up being the old Amari Cooper again. Yep. And you're like, God fucking damn it. Mm-hmm. You know? And, you know, Michael Gallup, whatever, they're have some dinged up players going on through the season too.
But he's good.
I just,
Michael Gallup.
The only difference that I see with the Cowboys slowing down, to James's point, I don't think the explosive plays are going to be as consistent as they are. Obviously, that there's going to be a lot of chances for the Cowboys to have to come back, which again is making, you know, Elliot, it's really excited. He's getting hot and sweaty because he goes, oh, fourth quarter comebacks. Oh, we've already seen that Dak Prescott can do that. So I'm sorry,
I like wins. I apologize.
Wait, did you say you like Dak? Love Dak? That's what I thought.
Oh, okay.
Love Dak. Got it.
But I think it's
once excited for Eagles Cowboys. It's going to be amazing.
So am I. I think it's got a lot of heat to it.
Dallas sucks. Right?
Our good friend,
you could only hold that in for so long.
Our good friend Neil Dutton. What would you celebrate the most? Fletcher's third sack or Matt Collins' second touchdown ever in his career?
Matt Collins' touchdown. Let's go.
Same.
Though I would like to see Fletch back to being Fletch.
I mean, what, three sacks in one game by Fletcher Cox? I think that's
No.
His third sack. Period.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I would say Holland's touchdown.
Yeah, absolutely.
Agree. I would take three sacks of Fletcher Cox over.
From our good friend Chris Carbaugh, who would who gets more targets? Is it Jay Jaw or is it Max Hollins?
It's definitely Hollins.
I disagree.
I think we saw it last week. I mean, him and Carson know each other. There's a relationship there.
Yep.
I think that in situation, and we saw it specifically, and again, it was a different situation because these guys were coming in cold, but in situations when plays broke down, Wentz was looking for Hollins, not for Jay Jaw. I do think that matters. I think it's Hollins, personally.
I think it's Hollins, too.
Wow, I'll be in the minority here. I think J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is that good. I do have a lot of faith in his game, and if he is indeed the new Alshon, at least for the next game or two, I do think he can step up and do that. You know, it was kind of a crazy scenario that happened on Sunday night. I think he ends up that the game plan kind of goes through him. I understand where you guys are coming from, though. I wouldn't be shocked at all if it's more of a Hollins thing. Where does Nelly fit in all this too, by the way?
He's the number one receiver.
He's going to stick with the outside.
I mean, Ertz, technically Ertz is the number one receiver. I think they'll move him in and out because Hollins can play on the outside. I don't think it's necessarily a matter of whether he's in the slot or outside. I think it's that he's going to be one of the two primary targets in the passing game.
Jordan Weaver asked, pretty much, we kind of touched on this, but scale of 1 to 10 with a full week to prepare and hopefully knock on some wood, James. Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you? No more injuries to start a football game or whatever. Geez. But confidence in that there will actually be a better game plan going into this week.
I mean, again, it's I have high confidence. It's hard to judge the game plan against Atlanta because he had to throw out half the playbook. I ripped him for it. I still think he had to do a better job. You have to do a better job under the circumstances, but you have to assume we'll see a better game plan against Detroit when he at least knows what players are going to be playing.
I have zero confidence. They've had the worst first quarter offense since the beginning of last year. Why would I ever believe the game plan for this week is going to be better? It could happen, but you know I wouldn't bet on it.
Real quick, are games one quarter or four quarters? I'm just wondering.
But the game plan is the first, basically the first quarter to a half,
really,
and then
the
they
first
adjust.
Half. Yeah, and there are adjustments, but that's still all part of the game plan. I mean, it's still talk about everything heading in. So.
Don't make me quote the Mike Tyson thing again. You know, just once you get punched in the mouth, you got to adjust. Sometimes your game plan, you know, you've done this for 3 or 4 days in a row. Like, all right, we're going to do this, and if that works, we'll go into there. And then if none of that shit works, then you got to adjust.
And look, Doug has shown a willingness to adjust.
Yeah.
He has shown
sure. So, I think Doug's a great game day coach.
Yeah, and I think that there's a clear, in terms of adjusting heading into the game, he knows that it's been a problem. He talked about it in his press conference. I believe in Doug. If I believe in Doug, I can believe that Doug's going to try and do something else.
He's been talking about it for over a year. Like, I mean, you know, his answers now are basically, I got to find magical plays. Like, there's nothing else to say. He just has to come out and do it. He's well aware it's an issue, but it was an issue all last year.
Yeah, I think there's between.
So
two
do you just think Doug sucks and they should get rid of him? I mean, what I don't understand.
No, I think Doug's.
You don't think he's ever. You don't think he can
games.
Ever. You don't think he can ever fix this. You just think it's going to be a problem forever. I mean, that's my point. It's like at a certain point, you hope that if Doug can't figure it out, if they are always bad in first halves, that's going to be an Achilles heel for him as a head coach. And it's going to be a real issue. So I'm assuming that Doug is going to work on this and try and figure it out. I know that he hasn't yet, but that doesn't mean that he can't. That doesn't mean that for the rest of the year, this is the team that we see.
It might not be. I just know
two games
what
in
he
September.
Has been.
Well, he's talking about, you know, Sunday, if you had to bet it. That's all. I think that's where Elliott's coming from.
I would not. I would not bet on it.
Real quickly, well, this is specifically for you, speaking of which, Robert Kelly wants to know, how does ESP sleep at night with all these awful heel takes?
Ooh, good question.
Yeah.
It's maybe the best question yet.
In the very expensive bed that all those takes paid for. That's how I sleep. You know what I mean? Like, the sheet count is beautiful. The pillows are beautiful. Like, that's how I sleep.
All right. I couldn't have come up with a better answer.
No,
that's pretty
good.
To Aguilar's point, we were just talking about him, and we didn't mention Darius Slay yet. Shame on us. He has had very big up and down games in the last two. Once against, you know, the second half in the Arizona Cardinals where they tied, didn't have a great game.
Was
really bad until, you know, the
scorched
end
there.
kept a chop on the wood, as you say, and then intercepted Philip Rivers towards the end of that game. I mean, obviously he's their best corner.
He does not go in the slot a lot. For what it's worth, Darius Slay almost never goes in the slot. So if you're talking about Aguilar,
maybe you keep him
maybe
away.
There's more slot. Like, that's what the Chargers did last week with Keenan Allen, who obviously moves inside. He moves outside a lot more than Nelson Aguilar does. But Keenan Allen, a lot of snaps from the slot. He had a really nice game. I think he had like 8 for 98 or something like that. A solid game, at least.
It's a good point, Joe. I think that matters.
That. Yeah.
Absolutely. And finally, it's been asked a lot. Are we interested in Taco Charlton? Hard no. Hardest no on the planet. I didn't understand the pick when it was picked.
Yeah, we hated the pick.
I didn't like Taco, coming out of Michigan regardless, because he's, what do you call that, James? Oh, bad.
Yeah.
He's bad. He was overdrafted. Nothing but success. Would you kick the tires at all?
Of course he would. He loves Dallas. I mean.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if he'd bring me a Dak jersey, of course. But, no, I mean, look, I think he's probably equal to Deshaun Hall. I know Deshaun Hall has shown a little more in preseason. I wouldn't kick the tires. I wouldn't bring him in, but I mean, I wouldn't hate it. The pass rush has been an issue. So I think
Deshaun Hall be activated finally, you think? I mean, what's going on with that? I couldn't believe he wasn't active in the Atlanta game.
Well, but Josh Sweat almost had a sack last week, for what it's worth.
I know. He did.
Wait, he did. Is that a dig?
Yeah, I hope so. I think it was.
I thought Josh Sweat actually performed really well.
No, it's not a dig at all. I'm being serious.
Sounded like a dig.
Oh, no. No, I'm saying, like, for everyone that wants Dejon Hall to dress, like, yeah. Josh Sweat did almost have a sack, so I don't think that's going to happen, but
okay,
who knows.
Okay, I'll say it. I dress him right now over Vinny Curry.
Ooh.
What is going on?
It's a really good point. Vinny Curry has done nothing.
You should tweet that, John. That's a great take.
Forget about it, it's a good take. I co-sign. Forget about getting home. A guy even got, like, what's the deal, man?
He's been awful. He's bad. The run game, he's just been bad.
All over the place. I just have all these conjuring things. I remember arguing about Vinny Curry. And it's no disrespect.
Free Vinny, baby.
Free Vinny. Put him in a 4-3. He'll be so much better. No. You know where he was most successful? In a 3-4.
He was.
With 30% of the snaps.
It's a really good point. That is by far the best version of Vinny Curry we've ever seen. It's not even close.
And we have never seen it again. You didn't see it down in Tampa.
Remember, he was a pass rushing specialist. Yeah. What the hell happened?
What's going
now
on?
Now they bring him back. They're like, oh, he's great against the run. I'm like, what happened?
Yeah, and that's what kind of makes me nervous. I know we're all hepped up on blitzing, and now that Jim Schwartz has been in there. I love it. I fucking love that he is bringing the heat. It's nice. I think he's going to have to continue to do that. I don't see any solutions with what he wants to do with the front four. Like, you got to go away from it, which is why they need to trade for Jalen Ramsey. Please, God, Howie. Monday morning, I'm calling it right now. Monday morning at 10 a.m., we're going to have an emergency podcast because he's going to be traded. I just don't know what else to do. How do you fix the pass rush other than trying Dejon Hall out? Like, this is why you needed Clowney. It's why. Like, I think it,
yeah,
it throws
off Schwartz.
That
decision is not looking great in hindsight.
But whatever. I just think that, you know, Vinny either has to step up or Dejon Hall just has to dress, and they got to rock and roll here. But boys,
just really quick, like, off the Clowney thing, one of the reasons they didn't trade for him was because of their belief in Barnett and basically how he's saying, you know, you draft these guys and you need to give them a chance to play. I do wonder if that will play in with the secondary. Like,
yeah,
you know, are they as high on the secondary guys as they are in Barnett? Has two games changed that? But I do think if they don't trade for Ramsey, you'll hear a lot of the same logic, which is, you know, we drafted these guys, you build a team, you don't just collect the best talent. So I think that could be a factor.
Certainly. There's only one thing to do right now, boys. You know what that is? It's time for the picks.
Hit me.
It's time to ring the bell and place some bets.
Hey, I don't want your money punching my money.
Here come our NFL picks.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talks.
Here comes the money.
The picks, of course, brought to you by the casino at Delaware Park, where you can watch and wager on, you know, if you want to throw a few shekels down on my Iowa Hawkeyes this weekend.
Well, I got an idea. You could wager and win some money and buy Elliot some headphones. How about that?
Yeah. How about that? Instead of using
the speaker mics all the time.
Well, I do have AirPods, but for some reason they're not working, unfortunately.
Yeah. Cords forever. Fuck Bluetooth. That is every audio engineer
on the planet. I agree. Ironically enough, I agree. I hate Bluetooth.
But like I said, you can go down, you can throw, you know, on everything. NCAA, pro football, all of it. It's all at the casino at Delaware Park, where it is a lottery agent of the Delaware Lottery. James, you have got to be 21 to play, sir, but...
You don't have to be 21 to watch,
let's
John.
Let's rumble on down to Jacksonville, Florida. As Gardner Minshew is exactly who I thought he was. You overhyped everybody because he's got a fine mustache.
He was pretty good at the end of the game, though.
Yeah, let's once
it looked like
score
it,
again?
Well, I it looked like he was settling in there. I'll say he was awful for the first half. I thought he showed some stuff in the second half.
Can I just say this is the most dramatic opening line switch on the history of football games? It opened as a 6.5-point favorite for Jacksonville. It has flipped to Tennessee as a 1.5 favorite.
What?
That is insane.
I don't even get that because obviously they knew about Min. Is anything happening, Jack? Oh, Ramsey maybe? Is it have to do with Ramsey complaining and him? Maybe
possibly.
So that tells us that the Jacksonville Jaguars are not going to play Jalen Ramsey tonight, most likely.
He's
I think that's
on the bench.
Implied.
Is that what it says?
I think he's a healthy scratch. Yeah. I mean, doesn't that make the most sense? I mean, why would you play him if you're going to trade him? I think
exactly.
That's pretty obvious.
They said
but
he's going to dress. I don't think they said he was going to start.
I think that line, and again, I don't think Jalen Ramsey flips a line 7 points, but that is wild. That is wild.
With the Gardner Minshew thing, like, I think he's a perfect example of everyone online just pretending to like something. Like, that story comes out last week that he stretches in the locker room and, like, whatever it was.
Jockstrap.
And everyone's like, oh, that's so awesome, da-da-da. It's like, can you imagine if we were all in a locker room and one of us started stretching in that? I feel like it'd be like,
I know who it would be. I'm looking right at him.
Hello, boys.
It would definitely be you. It would definitely be Bartrand.
Slamming the Tennessee
Titans.
Yeah,
I don't know how you guys. I actually think Jacksonville is not that bad. I like Minshew. Seriously, like, I'm not even looking at the teams. All I'm doing is looking at that line go from 6.5 to Tennessee 1.5, and I'm taking the Titans and laying the points.
E, you taking Jacksonville or nah?
I'm definitely taking the Titans.
Okay, yeah, oh, my God.
I can't believe that line. That's nuts.
Over-under went from 48.5 to 38, too. This is going to be a stinkler, everybody. Let us roam on down to Kansas City, where...
I'm going to Kansas City.
Dear football gods, please don't put Jalen Ramsey on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes.
That's what I'm asking you right now. Open at 6. Staying at 6.5, really, as the take on the Baltimore Ravens. Think this is going to be incredibly fun if the same Lamar Jackson continues his tear on the league here in week 3. This is probably
Lamar versus Mahomes. Come on.
Yeah, give that to me every day of the week. Unfortunately, it's on at 1:00. I think from what I understand, the NFL might be breaking their own rules because this is airing on CBS. While the Eagles are on Fox.
Really?
Which normally I didn't think you could do, but...
No, they never, ever, ever, ever do that.
According to 506sports.com, that is still happening if you want to switch that out. So CBS is probably like, come on, man.
This is our game.
I am going to take the Baltimore Ravens. I love their defense more than I do Patrick Mahomes in that offense. And James is already looking at me funny. I'm telling you, it's in between that. And I think there's... firepower going back and forth. 52.5 the over and under. I'm taking the under. I'm laying Ravens. I love the Ravens.
Ah, ring the bell. I don't feel good about that bell ring. Just the idea of ringing it.
Yeah.
I feel like the Ravens are the smart play. For some reason, I'm just trusting my gut here. I think Mahomes comes out and has a monster game. That guy is showing that regression is bullshit, apparently.
Yep.
And it feels like the type of game where it's going to be close throughout. A late Kansas City touchdown puts them up 10 or something and they covered. That's how I feel about the game. I don't feel great about it. I wouldn't put my own money. I wouldn't go down to Delaware Park and bet on this particular game.
Yep.
But you're forcing me to choose, John, and I'm forced to ring the bell. I'll take the Chiefs and lay the point.
E, are you
going? I do really like Lamar Jackson and I really like the Ravens, but I think that Patrick Mahomes might just be maybe probably the best quarterback of all time. Like, there's just no regression there, as James said. Like, every week you're like, okay, maybe this is the week he slips up, and he just never does. So until he does, I'm not going to pick on him to do that. So I'm taking the Chiefs.
That has there, and this is just really from memory for me. When is, seriously, get some headphones. when is the last time that you saw a guy like Patrick Mahomes throw as many no-look passes in his end, like it's nothing. Not like, oh, it's a slow dump off or whatever. No, it's a BB that's 15 yards, and he's not looking at his tight end or wide receiver.
Look, Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time reason and all that. Right, that's where I'm going. with good reason and all that. Like, I, in my lifetime, have never watched anyone who has the ability that Patrick Mahomes has to play that position.
I'll say this, that you're right about the ability. I don't think Patrick Mahomes will ever top Tom Brady.
I don't either. I don't know if anyone will. I mean, the guy won 6 Super Bowls and maybe going to 7th this year. Right. I agree with you, Elliot. I think that the correct take is Brady's the GOAT until. And I think it's unlikely that Mahomes gets there. But, I mean, he's the only guy who's even got a whiff of a chance is the way to put it.
Yeah.
How far away, I've been meaning to ask you guys this, how far away do you think we are from seeing a quarterback either in college or in pro throw for 1,000 yards in one game?
A ways away.
Yeah, really long time away. I mean,
I don't think it's that far away. I mean, you see some people get to like 550, 600. I don't know.
Hold up. The Eagles Super Bowl is the most yards ever in a game, and it was like 1,100 something.
Yeah.
Let's slow the roll here, brother. You got your mind?
All right.
For both teams
that
I'm talking about.
That means just there is no defense anymore.
Yes, that's crazy, though. Let's talk about a quarterback getting to 600 in a game first. How about that?
I'll bet you guys within 5 years a quarterback throws for
1,000. What do you want to bet? Yeah, what do you want to bet? I'll bet anything you want.
I don't know. We'll decide in 5 years.
Okay. Okay. Good. Can't wait for that.
All right. Well, let's just go down to Philadelphia where we are right now. Been saying, open at 7, at 6, 6.5. I'm really curious to see how this kind of works out over the next couple of days. So be sure to tune in. Sports Radio 94 WIP tomorrow from 1, or excuse me, not tomorrow. It's Thursday. I'm thinking it's Friday. On Saturday from 1 to 3, because Warren Sharp will be on at 1:45. We'll have a lot of takes that are updated with injuries and see if this line's moving. I think the Eagles win this game. I do not think they cover. So I think it's the Eagles by a late field goal. I'll take them 24-21. Everybody sweats it out from there. But I like Detroit to cover here, E.
So I feel personally burned by this team from last week. I thought they were going to lose to the Falcons all offseason. I swished at the last minute. I picked them, and they burned me. When I look at this game, I say, do I think they're going to come out fast? No, I don't. Do I think that they'll win a close game? No, I don't. So I'm picking the Lions. Picking the Lions.
Man, Lions outright on the money line.
Let me give both of you a gigantic ring the bell! And also, fuck all y'all. I'm taking the birds. I am laying the points. Again, I do think Barchard, I think it's a very likely scenario that it's a close game and whatnot. A
backdoor cover, maybe? I don't know.
I believe the Eagles are winning on Sunday. And if I believe they're winning on Sunday, I'm not willing to take the Lions. I'm not willing to take the points because I think the Eagles ultimately will win the game. I think the Lions are a way worse football team than Elliott does, clearly. Probably than you do, too.
Yeah.
I think when it's all said and done, this is and I was about to say 5-11, let's say 5-10-1 type of football team. That's legitimately what I think the Lions are. I think the Eagles, even with the injuries, are just a better team, a better roster. Home field advantage matters for this team. I think they find a way to win by a touchdown.
Can I just say that I hate that we already have to include the tie in the Lions record already?
It's so annoying. It's so annoying.
We're in week 3 and
way
we
to
have
go,
to mention
assholes.
They're 1-0-1. What is this, fucking hockey?
I kind of feel like ties should just count as losses.
Ooh.
I like that.
I don't hate that at all.
I love that, E. That's your best both take teams of the lose. World. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you both get losses.
And that would
make
it more
OT so
right?
much more fun.
Oh, yes. I love that. Yes.
Elliot.
NFL, are you listening?
Elliot, what a good idea.
Take
well
the
done.
Podcast.
Yes, well done.
It just shows that when I spend less time thinking about my takes, they're way better. That just came right off the top.
Plenty more takes, like I said, Saturday from 1 to 3. If you're listening to this right now before 6 p.m. on Thursday, get to Paper Street Pub and Maniunk. We'll be hanging out there watching Thursday Night Football, talking about fantasy football, getting your lineups ready. Go listen to Sigmund Bloom and James Seltzer for even further detail on that in This Week in Fantasy, which is already in your feed. And we will see you Sunday hooting, hollering, possibly naked, right here on the Go Birds podcast number 113. For Elliot Shore Parks and James Seltzer, I'm John Barchard. On radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Go Birds!